I'd like to look here in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, that God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always for the wrath to come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring that no more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even we in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. The Apostle Paul had a great love for these people at Thessalonica. He had a great desire to want to preach the gospel of God unto them. He wanted to see them saved by the grace of God. He was faithful to them. He had a great love for them. We see that Paul did not come empty-handed. He came with a message. He came with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God tonight for those preachers of God's Word who've labored to teach me the things of the Lord, as Paul taught these people here at Thessalonica. And I'm indebted to them eternally for being such a blessing to me. And I'm sure that you can think of many men of God that have been faithful to you and had a burden and had a love for you and a love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be faithful to you and be faithful to the Lord and preach what has been preached to you and the things that you have learned from them. So in other words, Paul did not come there to receive of them, but he came to bring something to them. He wanted to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see in verse 1 there, he said, "For yourselves, brethren, know how our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." And then in verse 2, he said, "But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." We see that a hireling prophet would have folded up and quit when trouble came, when persecution came. But we see that Paul was not a hireling. Paul was abused. He was mistreated shamefully. We see that he was in prison. But that didn't stop him from preaching the truth of the Word of God. Just because things got rough, Paul didn't run. And I believe this ought to encourage each one of us tonight to stand for the truth. Things are not always going to be a bed of roses. There's going to be some times when we're going to suffer some opposition in believing what we believe, in practicing what we practice. And people are going to say some hard things to us. But we see that Paul continued to love them. He continued to preach the truth to them. And I thank God for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is one of my favorite Bible characters in the Bible. I loved his style of preaching. I loved the grace of God that was displayed in his life. And I thank God for him. And not only do I thank God for him, but I thank God for all the faithful men who have waxed bold in the Lord in the face of persecution, in the face of contention, in the face of opposition. They stood in there and they didn't buckle. They didn't fold. They continued to preach the truth. I don't know if some of you may remember Brother V.A. Turner. He was my first pastor. And he suffered a lot of opposition. I can look back in the church that I was a member of, the first church I was a member of. And he suffered a lot of opposition. But he didn't fold up. He just continued, like the Apostle Paul did, he continued to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the doctrines of grace, preached about the Lord's church, preached about scriptural baptism, and those were some of the things that a lot of people were opposing him about. But he didn't buckle, he didn't fold up, he continued to preach the truth. And I'm sure that even here you've seen some opposition, and you've seen Brother Harvey would stand there and he would proclaim the truth. He would not give up. He would not move on. He would just stand in there and love the people and preach the truth of the Word of God. And this is what the Apostle Paul did. And I thank God for men that will not fold and will not buckle when opposition comes. And I believe Satan will try and he'll hinder every message that I preach. Sometimes I can feel it stronger than others. But there is times when Satan will try to hinder everything that I preach. And sometimes it's harder than other times. Some messages are harder to preach sometimes. But I want you to pray for me that I'll go on and I'll preach the Lord's messages because they're urgent and because they're important. Pray for me that I'll not preach for you, but that I'll preach to you. And I believe there's a big difference. We see that Paul was very courageous. He was not a quitter. He boldly proclaimed the Word of God. In fact, in the book of Acts, turn back here with me to the book of Acts in chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In verse 13. My wife said I was moving a little fast this morning on some of my scriptures. She said, give them time to find it. And so, she's my best critic. In verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, notice verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. That's the desire, I believe, of every God-called preacher, that he would be able to preach that way. And so, we see that the Apostle Paul proclaimed the Word of God boldly. Now, we notice in verse 3 here of our reading, he says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in God. Paul could not be accused by them or anyone else of using deceit or uncleanness or God in preaching the Word of God. You see a lot of that done today. Just turn the television on. Satan will do everything he can to try to discredit my ministry. He's going to do everything he can to try to silence my messages. Don't even talk about me to your wife or to your children. Satan is going to do everything he can to try to discredit my ministry and discredit me as a pastor. Satan, he works very slick. He's very sly. And there's going to be people that's going to make fun of the preacher's message. What are they doing? They're trying to discredit my ministry. They're trying to make light of God's Word. They're trying to make light the messages that the pastor preaches. There's no need to be deceitful. We see here that his aim was to win them to the Lord. And he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." Now notice that. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." The preacher has been entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm aware very much of the responsibility that I have as a God-called man and as a pastor of a New Testament Baptist church. And I'm realizing it more and more every day that I pastor. And the bigger the church, the more responsibility that the pastor has. And I do desire your prayers, that you would pray for me, and that you would pray for me daily. And everything I do, and every hospital call that I make, every visit that I make. And so, Paul says here in verse 4, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God." And that is the greatest desire that I have as a God-called man, is that my ministry and that my preaching would be pleasing to the Lord, that it would honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that's your desire as you serve the Lord in and through the Lord's church, that your service will be acceptable unto Him, that you will honor the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. And yes, Satan is going to work with you also. He's going to try to hinder you also, just as he tried to hinder the Apostle Paul. And so, it's a glorious privilege to be able to be put in trust with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who created the heavens and the earth, has trusted me with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "My, what a responsibility." It is a great responsibility. And I don't ever want to be guilty of misleading anybody. I dare not try to get somebody to make a profession of faith, because I would like to see numbers. And that's being done today. We're in the racket business today. Churches wanting to build the church with people that are not even saved by the grace of God. Paul did not do that. He realized the great responsibility that he had in preaching the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that Christ died and how that He was buried and how that He arose again the third day. And so his desire was to please the Lord and not man. And so I want you to know right off the bat here tonight that I'm preaching for the Lord. I'm preaching for the Lord. I'm not a hireling. I'm not preaching. I'm not preaching for the money. I'm not preaching for the money. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I know the Lord looks on my heart. And what good would I be doing if I preached all the time to please you? I wouldn't be doing myself any good. I wouldn't be doing you any good. It wouldn't be doing the work of the Lord any good at all. I would be doing you more harm than good. I've heard people say, "He knew I was doing that. That's the reason he got up and preached what he did. He knew I was guilty of that." Do you ever think that? Do you ever say that? What would you want me to do? Huh? Do you want to be left to yourself in that sin? I don't believe there's a saved person here would want that to happen. You wouldn't want the Lord to leave you alone, would you? Huh? No, I don't believe you would. But that's what you're saying. When you're saying, boy, He really let me have it. Man, He really worked me over. You know. Would you want that sin or that person to just completely destroy the church? And a lot of times that's what happens. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little leaven. Just a little bit of leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. So you got a little bit of leaven here, a little bit of leaven here, a little bit here, and 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 a little bit here. Now what do we have? Huh? We got a whole bunch. And the Lord said, just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The Lord says in the book of Titus, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. And sometimes the pastor's got to do that. That's not easy to do. But sometimes we need that. The Lord very often has to rebuke me sharply concerning my preaching. And I'm sure that there's been times when the Lord has rebuked you sharply that you might be sound in the faith. And so, do you want me to please you? Or do you want me to please the Lord? I'm sure everybody here would say, Brother Jones, I want you to please the Lord. You preach what God gives you to preach. And I trust that you all will keep that in mind. I don't intentionally signal out anybody. I might preach on some sin maybe that you're guilty of. But I don't intentionally signal out somebody and preach to them. God will deal with me severely, I believe, if I ever did that. And so, in verse 5 he says, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Paul wanted these people to know that he was not guilty of using flattery speech to win them, so that he might take them for all that they were worth. You know, there's a lot of preachers that's doing that. You look on television, see if that's not true. Telling old people to send their make their retirements to them, to the Jimmy Swaggart ministry, or for several other different kinds of ministries that they have. Send their Social Security checks to them. Send them their tithes, but give your offering to your church. You hear them say that all the time. The Apostle Paul was not that kind of man of God. And so, I believe the Lord is warning us today with these passages of Scripture to beware of hirelings. Beware of men that will do that. Paul was not a pretender. And they knew it. Paul hated flattery. He hated it. David also hated this sin. Look back here in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, chapter 12. Psalms chapter 12. Notice verse 2. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. A flatterer can use either truth or lies to achieve his unholy purpose, which is to control your decisions for his own profit. And that's so true. Some people even flatter themselves. But flattery, I believe, is another form of lying. It means saying one thing to God with our lips, while our hearts are far from Him. The Lord had something to say about that over in the book of Mark chapter 7. Turn over there to Mark chapter 7, and we'll read a verse there. In Mark chapter 7, and notice verse 6. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And I believe the Lord is saying that to us tonight. Because sometimes we can be guilty of that. This people honoreth me with their lips. Oh Lord, you know how much I love you. We say one thing, Lord, you know how much I love your church. I want to be faithful to it. And Aunt Sally will come for the weekend, and you'll stay home with Aunt Sally instead of coming to church. What are we doing? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. You know you love your wife, you'll do anything for your wife. You'll put her first. Isn't that right? We love the Lord, we love the church. We'll put Him first. And so, Paul's method was as pure as his motive. He presented the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he trusted the Lord to work. That's the way he preached. Now, in verse 6 of our reading, in verse 6, he said, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." Paul never sought any praise or honor from men. He didn't do that. A preacher at times may be desirous of praise, but it's not his place to seek it. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And I believe that ought to be the desire not only of the preacher's heart, but it ought to be the desire of every one of us that are saved, that's saved by the grace of God. Is, Lord, you must increase. I must decrease. And so, this should be the desire of each of us. But they should have honored and they should have respected Paul for what he had done here in Thessalonica. And there was nothing wrong with those people saying to the Apostle Paul, "Paul, I thank God for you. I appreciate everything that you've done here at the church of Thessalonica." But Paul did not seek that honor, that glory. He gave the Lord all the honor, the glory, and the praise. People ought to honor and respect their pastor for the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. And that's what they should have done here. In verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." I've heard people say Paul was a hateful man. I don't know where in the world they ever come up with that. We see that the Apostle Paul, you read in these church letters, he displayed a whole lot of love. He loved the people that he preached to everywhere he went. People loved the Apostle Paul. He was loved by them. But he also loved them. And he displayed it in the things that he preached to them. The doctrines and the teachings that he taught them. You look at a young mother and appreciate the gentleness that they manifest in handling their baby. Paul says here that he was like that among them. As he fed them, and as he nourished them, he was meek. He was mild. He was humble. And that's the way he fed them. And he uses the illustration here. As a mother is taking care of that little baby. You already saw Linda yesterday. She was handling that baby just as gentle and just as mild, you know, tender. That's exactly the way that the Apostle Paul preached and taught the people. It was not his intentions to gain from them any more than it is the desire of a mother to gain from that infant son or that daughter. She loves that little child. Paul loved these people. He cared for them. He had tender concern for them. Paul was their spiritual parents. He fed them with the sincere milk of the Word. And in verse 8, he said, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." And so Paul tells them in this verse, very clearly and very plainly, that he loved them dearly. And I've been here a little over a month. And I can honestly and truthfully say that I love you very much. And I pray that I'll never get so cold and indifferent that I can't tell my people I love you. And all of you have told me that since I've been here. And this was the desire of the Apostle Paul's heart. He loved these people dearly. And it's a wonderful blessing to have so much love for a people. Because it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Now, he had the gospel. He had the gospel. And because he loved them, he wanted them to have it.
Do you have so much love in your heart that you want to get the gospel to somebody? That's how much love that He had. He saw people dying and going to hell. And He desired to get the gospel to them, to preach the gospel to them. Paul's love was so great that he not only gave them the message, but he gave himself. He gave himself also. And I can truthfully say, and you can truthfully admit tonight, that Brother Harold Harvey gave his life for this church. He did. He loved the Lord. He loved the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his desire was that you might get the gospel, that you might receive the gospel, that you might be saved by the grace of God, and that you might learn the truths of the Word of God. And he gave his life as the Apostle Paul gave his life. And this is what he was saying here. This is the love, the kind of love that he had for the church at Thessalonica. He loved them very much. And I believe that the true man of God does give himself unto his people. This is my life at Olmsted Baptist Church. This is my life. Every church I've pastored, I've tried to put my whole self into it. It's my life. My wife knows that. She feels the same way. When I first met her, we got to talking pretty seriously. That was one of the first things I asked her. I said, if the Lord would call me to Brazil to be a foreign missionary, would you be willing to go? She said, well, just send the support checks to me. No, she didn't say that. She said, yes, I'd be willing to go. As long as you know the Lord is leading you, I'll go anywhere. And she has. She's been willing to go everywhere that I've gone. And she's willing to put her whole life into it also. And this is what the Apostle Paul did. I'm on call any hour of the day or night. You call me whenever I'm needed. You call me. You need me, you call me morning, noon, or night. And by God's help and by God's grace, I'll be there. But I mean that. I really mean that. The Apostle Paul said that these people were in his heart. You all are in my heart. Your problems become mine. Your sorrow is my sorrow. That's what Paul felt. And I believe every true man of God should feel the same way. I believe we'll leave off right there. I want to read one passage of Scripture in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 10, in way of a verse for our invitation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says,
If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want you to see something here. I was thinking about this afternoon. And I just about preached. I was going to preach the whole message tonight just on this, but I felt I needed to work on it a little bit. But he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You may be here tonight and you say, I believe. I can trust the Lord. I believe that the Lord sent His only begotten Son. He bled and suffered and died for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe all of that. I believe the salvation is all by grace. I believe the faith is involved. I believe there's repentance involved. I can believe every bit of that. But there's still something missing. Maybe you can do all that, but there's still something missing. Maybe this is what's missing. Confessing Him. Maybe that's what's missing. Maybe that's what you haven't done. And that's what He's saying, isn't it? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Maybe that's what's missing. Is it? Can you confess it? Confession is made unto salvation. That also has to be done. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that missing? Can you confess Him? You say, I believe everything you've said, Brother Jones. Can you do this? Maybe that's what you haven't done yet.